The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hello, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages. Bird's Eye View here at Random Thursday in December. We're a week out from Christmas. I'm Jesse. I'm joined by Mike.
Yeah, good. I was just saying this should be called the early worm because even though it's 10 a.m., I'm tired.
It's true, the bird gets the early worm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a symptom of our. It's a symptom of our jobs, where we work late, and all of a sudden, 10 a.m. rolls around. And you're like, I should not be this.
Groggy. Admittedly, I got to bed later than I thought because I completely forgot that I had the 10 a.m. And then I got an email from David, who's one of the producers here, and I was like, oh, right. That's gonna happen. I need to wake up on time for it. So, admittedly, I did have a moment last night, but we're fine. We're fine.
We're good. We have plenty. There's still plenty to talk about. Last week we hadn't had any games yet.
Last week we are
kind of in deep right now with the season. Though there is, it seems like it goes hard for a week. It cools off for 2 weeks. Over the holiday, obviously, with a couple big games mixed in there, but nothing, huge, thick days with 10, 15 games going on.
Yeah, I mean, and that's probably something that we should tell folks is because next week there are only going to be a few days with games just because of Christmas and Christmas Eve and all that, and teams not scheduling games, and then there'll be games again. And then very quickly there will not be games because of New Year's. And so, the next, 10 days or... Okay, starting Monday. The from Monday to, the following Wednesday or so. Just going to be really, really, really weird up and down. Last year, we had a situation where, I think it was Pittsfield had played 8 games by January 2nd. Yeah. And Hoosick had played, 3. It's just kind of weird scheduling. So that is something to keep an eye out when you're looking at basketball and
scoring totals will be a little shifty for a while. But we'll kind of iron that out as we go along in the season. I believe every basketball and hockey team in the county has played a game. Almost every wrestling team, so there'll be one more wrestling match tonight, so then everyone will have wrestled at least a dual meet. Everyone's been at tournaments for wrestling. And we had Greylock Mount Everett wrestling last night. Tonight, Monument is hosting Taconic, and that's it. That's it for wrestling. Every swim meet has swam. Everyone has swimmed.
No, everyone has swam.
I know. We got a couple more. Monument will be back up here on Friday, so hopefully we can check that out. I was at a hockey game last night.
Yeah, it was a tough one for Taconic.
Yeah.
It seemed like they were in it for the first two periods.
It didn't end well.
No.
It happened quickly, literally quickly enough that I went to the bathroom, came out, and all of a sudden they were down.
Okay, hold on.
I forgot that there was no Zamboni in between the second and third periods.
I'm a little rusty
on my hockey coverage.
Fair enough.
I was like, oh, great. Second period ends. Let me run into the bathroom. Agawam had just scored with 6 seconds left, and I came out. They scored in under a minute of the third period to go up at that point 3-0. Taconic did get one back 3-1, and then all of a sudden it was, I think, again, less than 10 seconds later, Agawam scored and was off to the races, so to speak. Taconic is the big deal is they're coming off this Western Mass title last year that... it was the first year of the them going co-op with the Mount Everett co-op, which means that they're this kind of 7-school juggernaut, you could argue, super team.
Yeah, I thought, what did I call it a couple years ago? Not a consortium, conglomerate. Called it the Taconic conglomerate. Yeah, because it's
United
Taconic,
Nations
Pittsfield,
of
Wakona, Lee, Lennox, Monument Mountain, and Mount Everett.
It's quite a roster if you looked at it. Going up and down the roster, all the schools that are
and
represented
we say,
there.
Props to all the Mount Everett Monument kids who drive half hour, 45 minutes, an hour to Pittsfield to play hockey. It's quite impressive.
Yeah,
and they have no idea if and when Mount Everett is getting a hockey team back. So
yeah, we haven't heard about the situation down at Berkshire School and what was going on with their rink. Going up and down, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I got 5 Mount Everett kids on the roster, and it's a big roster. A lot of schools represented. And they do have what looks like a good amount of talent. Eric Harrington was the most noticeable one. I know Coach Risley mentioned him in a preview, but he's a transfer from, had played at that Atlantic Coast Academy, Atlantic Coast Selects, that runs in Pittsfield, and had played over in Clifton Park Dynamos. That's long been a kind of historic preps hockey program over in New York. Transferred into Pittsfield, and he looked like, you know, oh, like
he's real.
This is different. What he was capable of doing, laid out a couple monster hits, just really, really good moving the puck. And he did find a couple teammates for decent looks, but mostly that seemed to be the struggle with Taconic was Agawam just seemed more willing and capable of moving the puck around to multiple guys. Taconic ran a lot of kind of solo stuff, a lot of two-man stuff.
I mean, that whole offense is figuring itself out because when you lose your 3 leading goal scorers, your 3 best offensive weapons, it's just a big blow. And so, yeah, they're going to, you know, we talked about, like, we'll come into boys basketball, right, losing Pat McLaughlin. The same thing with Taconic. You know, they lost Ryland Paddleford. They lost Rashawn Warrior. They lost Brayden Bishop. It's just their offense is a work in progress.
Yeah, you need to learn new skills, learn how to create. In many ways, that was Pat McLaughlin was a creator in the purest sense. It looks like they'll get there. It might take some time here. I think this was probably a bit of it could go 2 ways. I mean, it could be a wake up call in terms of snapping them back into attention, and this is what it's going to take to get back to where we were. Because they were coming off, I think, a 2-2 draw with out at Southwick. But this is clearly Agawam looks like one of the stronger teams in the Fay, right?
Agawam's pretty good in Western Mass, so it's not a huge shock. I think Agawam beat them last year as well.
It's just the other way it could go is like nobody wants to lose 7-1. And it was clear towards the end of that game that heads were real, real hanging.
Yeah.
A lot of frustrations, a lot of stick slams. And stuff like that. So that's the other way it could go. And that's what you have to avoid. That's what Coach Risley has to avoid and his staff as they look forward. Because actually, in a coincidence, they get Agawam on Christmas Eve. They will be playing out at Olympia on Tuesday, 10 a.m. game on Christmas Eve. So whoever opted for that, I don't know. But they do get kind of right back at Agawam. So they have 4 days, 5 days, whatever it is, to either stew, to get better, to watch tape, to figure out Agawam, and then maybe go take out some frustrations at Olympia on Tuesday morning. McCann Tech hockey, we should mention, won their 11-4 second game. Yeah, they blew out Housatonic Regional,
from Connecticut, I believe. Yeah, no, I saw that game on the schedules. This could be a good early season win for McCann, and it was. And, you know, John Stack had 4 goals. He had a hat trick in the first 8 minutes of the game. And that was a team that, you know, their goalie situation isn't great because they have 2 sophomores. I believe it was Ben Harris who got the starting nod in that game. But, you know, whereas Taconic lost all of its offense, McCann brought back its best offensive players, I don't think 2 or 3 of its best defensive linemen from last season. And so, you know, they're back. Other than goalie, they're back. Their front lines are really good. And I think you could tell that. So I think this should be a very good early season sign for the Hornets in telling them, hey, like, we can play. You know, we can score goals, we can play, and as long as they keep good defense in front of their goalie, they should be able to make a little noise in Western Mass.
Yeah, it'd be cool. It'd be cool to have meaningful hockey towards the end of the year again. Obviously, we saw Taconic go out and win a Western Mass title last year in Class B. But those two, we have those two county v. county games are going to be, I believe, like February 5th and 13th.
They're both late in the season.
Yeah, they're both kind of stacked real late, I believe. They might be the 2 last games of the season for McCann Tech. I think Taconic has a game in between, but it'd be nice to have those games, you know, have both teams kind of good and fighting for a playoff position and not have, you know, one team here. I'm holding up hands on the radio, but one team be kind of upper echelon, one team below. I'm a TV guy. That must be it.
That's it. Actually, I got a question for you.
Sure.
I mean, maybe this is just the difference between the two teams, and that's what it is. But, you know, a few days ago, Monument Mountain... I'm going to switch over to basketball.
Oh, sure.
Monument Mountain boys basketball kind of has its way with Belchertown, you know?
Correct.
And part of that is because Manny Brown has just a sensational record-breaking performance. He scored 50 points. He was 10 of 14 from three. Just flamethrower. That's a school record for threes in a game. That's a school record for points in a game. Incredible stuff. But they won by like 20. You know, it was not particularly close. Now, last night, Hoosick Valley loses to Belchertown, and it seemed, I believe it was a double-digit loss, and I'm just...
Yes. Yeah, it was. I think it was 80-68. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just going, I would have thought Hoosick Valley was much better than that. You know, maybe some Belchertown kid got hot, but, you know, Trevor Moynihan had a huge game.
37, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy scoring. So I don't know. I would have thought this would be Hoosick's game.
Yeah, that, I mean, the simplest explanation there is Monument's just more of an adult team, and this is game two of the season, week one of the season, so to speak. And I just think, you know, Hoosick might not have it figured out just yet. Monument kind of knows who they are, knows where the ball's going to go, what's going to happen. Hoosick not quite there yet, but yeah, it was, I'm on girls, sorry. Yes, 80-68. You're right, Trevor Moynihan had 37. A guy on the other team also had 37.
So I think it wound up
kind of devolving into that, and I think maybe the supporting cast of Belchertown was just too good. According to Coach Robinson's email, was that it was pretty much touch and go throughout. They were right there kind of with them. And then I guess he said threes and 3-point plays. So whatever that means.
Maybe Belchertown got a couple big shots at the end and pulled away.
Yeah. Yeah. So Hoosick, they're 1-1. They hung 94 in their opener. So they're clearly capable. Trevor Moynihan has 56 points in two games. So.
Pretty good.
He's clearly capable. It's kind of the rest of the guys. Aiden Wicks had 27 in that first game. He only had 7 against Belchertown. So they gotta figure out some things where the ball's going.
I didn't expect him to score that much because he I remember last year Bill Robinson saying that he wanted him to be more of a passer. You know, not certainly not a 3-point shooter, but a driver and a, you know, driving kick type guy. So I could easily see him being, you know, a 10-point a game scorer, but who has, you know, 8 or 9 assists.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is then, you know, they're just replacing so many shots.
Right, right.
So yeah, well, that's, yeah, Moynihan that's can't take all of those shots.
Will Higgs and Quinnell Bradley and Kamari Cash all need to step up. But yeah, okay, all right. Well, maybe Belchertown is just a good team this year, and they only.
Maybe Manny Brown is just that good.
Yeah.
When
a kid scores 50, it does kind of help your chances to win.
Yeah, it's gonna just kind of be demoralized because all right, we cannot stop him from doing what he's gonna do. I think you said 10 of 14 from three in that game, and he's got 80 points through two games. So he should be, you know, very impressed by Trevor Moynihan's 56 in two games, but 80 to start the season for Manny Brown is kind of wild.
If you're a Belchertown fan, you're probably worried about your defense. That they can't, you know, you give up 68 and 90 whatever. So it's not a, or eight, yeah, whatever.
I think it was an 80, yeah, for Monument.
Yeah. 88 for Monument, 68 from Hoosick. Not great through the first two games.
Yeah, I just going back to Monument for a second, I talked to Randy Coldus, their head coach, before the season, and he was all concerned about, you know, oh, we have this real tough opening stretch of the season, this team, and if they just rip through these teams,
it'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, it's gonna kind of put it in perspective of you know how good they can be. They will have a game against Pittsfield, who's now 3-0 coming up.
Well, actually, let's hold off on that. Let's talk about Pittsfield High coming up next.
Okay.
We're going to take a little break here, folks, so stay with us here on WTBR-FM Pittsfield.
People tune in to hear the latest local and national news.
That's not us.
People tune in to hear the latest music.
That's definitely not us.
People tune in to hear political pundits expound on politics.
No. That's not us.
How about people tune in to hear entertaining stories, jokes, odd topics, and laughter?
Oh, yeah, that's us. That's Stuff.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 8:30 to listen to the latest Stuff with Bev Prentice and Lynn Arsenault on 89.7 WTBR-FM.
Some news outlets tell you what to believe, and they limit your access to the whole story. Some of them are just plain ugly and mean. Social media is filled with rumors, misinformation, personal attacks. Where locally can you get the whole story, unfiltered, so that you can make informed decisions at the ballot box? There's really only one place. It's on PCTV. On cable, on the PCTV Select app, and at pittsfieldtv.org. The whole story since 1986. PCTV. See it all and decide for yourself.
Welcome back, folks, here on 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield. It's the Bird's Eye View. Jesse, I'm joined by Mike. Let's talk a little about Pittsfield High. The boys' basketball team just got another win. Mm-hmm. And the girls' team, actually, I'll speak on quickly, they beat Northampton, which was not quite as impressive as beating Northampton last year. I looked it up because I was stunned that they won, just because Northampton last year was a Final Four team in Division II.
Mm-hmm.
But they lost their first, third, and fourth leading scorers, and their first leading score was like a 450-point score in that season, so they clearly, and they have like one senior, one junior, and a bunch of sophomores, so it's not quite the same, but still, Northampton's a very good team. Pittsfield won by double digits. It's a very impressive win for Christy Conyers and company.
I saw them at the Pioneer Valley tip-off on Sunday. It didn't look all that different from last year, which is not to say anything poor about them, because they were very, very, very good last year.
No, Conyers was like, we're gonna press. Yep. We're gonna, you know.
Yeah, it looked a lot like that. It wasn't kind of noticeable absence of, like, Charlotte Goodnow, obviously a big graduate, but wasn't super noticeable. There's probably a little bit less shooting, but there's some young girls kind of stepping into bigger roles. Everyone just looked kind of as they did. Desiree Powell did not play in that game. She did play in the Northampton game, led them in scoring with 10 points. So obviously good to have her back there as well. It's just another body in that pressured defense. But
And on the boys' side, you know, we talk about Kyle Cardoso as a soccer player, and all of a sudden he's a hooper. And he led them in points against, who they play? Oh, Westfield. Yeah, he led them, you know, 20 against Westfield.
Yeah, they're maybe not a surprise 3-0, but somewhat of a surprise 3-0. It's just that they've kind of figured out how to win two games here. Actually, all three, I think, have been single digits, I want to say, maybe. At least the last two have, obviously, with the walk-off.
It's East Longmeadow.
Cardoso layup at the Pioneer Valley tip-off. The other one was 17, but they beat Westfield 58-53 on the road, kind of their first true road game of the season, and that's a solid win. Solid early season win. I think Taconic also beat Westfield, maybe. Cardoso led them 22 points. They were without, I believe, Noah Kane Smalls. Did not play in this game. That was one of them that Coach Jerome Edgerton had mentioned in his email. But yeah, they're figuring out ways to get, you know, stack wins early in the season before they do have to play the Monuments, the Taconics, coming up here. But important to get some wins, get some confidence, I would say, in a completely new cast of characters. And speaking on the Pioneer Valley tip-off, they looked like a pretty cohesive basketball team. They subbed a lot. They were running five on, five off for stretches of the game. So Edgerton has like a lot of figuring out to do, I guess, on his rotation, or he just has, you know, that benefit of having all these guys who can play varsity basketball, which is huge.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about they probably don't have the same kind of quality 1A starters that they had last year, because, mm-hmm, you know, Malachi Perry could take over any game. Mekhi Shepherdson could take over a lot of games. Deshaun Brown could take over some games. And then you have Pat Brennan and Marcelo Arianji, who are very, very, very good role players.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have that this year. But I think they substitute that with the depth. And so if you get into a track meet with PHS, like, they're probably going to outlast you because they have 10, 11 guys who can they can just trust to throw in there and kind of run that same offense and defense. You know, they're all fast. They can pace the floor. And so, you know, if Pittsfield faces a tall team that can run, they're probably going to lose because, you know, they don't have a lot of height. Or if they face a team that just is canning shots and then that stops Pittsfield from getting out and running. But, I mean, yeah, otherwise, like, you're going to be put to the test because, you know, you talk about Monument, that's going to be a huge game in early January because that's the game that last year, right before Christmas, Monument won in Pittsfield on a buzzer beater. And, you know, and then obviously in the Western Mass Final, Pittsfield gets revenge, beats Monument. So both teams, understandably, want this game pretty badly. And, you know, Monument starters probably better. Or their three best players are better. On the other hand, Monument doesn't have a lot of depth. No. So, you know, if those guys are getting 32 minutes and Pittsfield starters are getting refreshed, they can rest, and the other guys can still get out and run, that's a big advantage.
Yeah, that game is coming up right after the new year. I think January 3rd will be that one. That was kind of that stretch I was talking about briefly with Monument there. Actually, they have to go to South Hadley on Monday. Monday's the 23rd, right?
Monday is the 23rd. South Hadley was not good last year, but they might.
To a 3. I just mentioned it because they're off to a 3-0 start. Okay. They did beat Belchertown in the opener 59-52. So part of that stretch with Monument, they're also, I can't remember if they're home or going to Clinton, that team that they've kind of developed this relationship with.
Right.
I
think they're home because they were at Clinton last year.
Okay, so they got Clinton coming to town, and then they do play Pittsfield as well. Should mention, while we're talking Pittsfield, and you mentioned tall teams that can run, Taconic beat Westfield 80-41.
Not bad. Pretty good. To be fair, Westfield isn't exactly a basketball school.
No, I'm just saying transitive property from what Pittsfield was able to pull off at Westfield. This game was at Taconic, but 80-41. Taconic now 2-0 as well. We did see them East Longmeadow game. They won at home in their opener. They are on the road until after Christmas. They're at Minichog today and at Commerce on Monday, and then they'll be back home for Chicopee Comp on the 27th. Pittsfield Taconic won't play each other till January 6th, which actually is not that far off into the future.
No, and it's probably good, especially for, I mean, Pittsfield especially, but even for Taconic, a lot of new players, new, you know, team dynamics. That's good that they get to figure themselves out before they face one another.
Yeah, should be. That's always a lot of fun. It'll be at the Boys and Girls Club.
Which we say, that's a good thing. I know after last year, there was a lot of talk about the games being moved to PHS and Taconic respectively. And I very much enjoy the fact that it's at the Boys and Girls Club. I think that's really cool. It allows a lot of people to be in there, Center Pittsfield, all that. I think that's a very, very cool thing that they do.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I see both sides of it with we want our place represented. But given that that's kind of a hub focal point of all these kids where they came up playing basketball, most likely.
And you can just fit more people in it.
You can
fit more people in it, and you get foot traffic that, like, okay, Pittsfield might get foot traffic, Taconic won't, but people are going to walk to it.
You're not even really, just because to get into the Pittsfield gym, you don't exactly walk in that big entrance.
It's true. Boys and Girls Club is cool. And the first year that I went to it, it was packed. And honestly, the crowd got lighter for the boys game because the girls game was super delayed. Like the JV game just like took forever for some reason and they didn't stop it. And then the girls game was first and Pittsfield kind of blew through Taconic. And then, you know, so it was like 45 minutes behind schedule when they got to the boys game and the crowd was like, all right, we're going to go. It was still probably like 70%. But in any case, yeah, no, that should be a fun game. Should we briefly mention the Drury girls?
Drury girls, sure.
Should we say our condolences to the Felix family?
Yeah, that whole...
That's horrible.
So Allison Felix died earlier this week, a few days ago now. Her younger sister, Jacinta, plays lacrosse, soccer, and
three sports
basketball.
Star.
Yeah. And she is a very good at all three of those. She did suit up last night, so Drury had their game on Tuesday delayed to Wednesday. I guess it was also moved to Drury from Agawam. So Coach Ian Downey credited Agawam with being cool with everything and accommodating, because they were able to get that game in a day later and switch locations. But it allowed, yeah, that Drury family that we see constantly throughout the year. These are two basketball in particular programs. It's a heavy basketball school. These are very prideful basketball programs, and it was nice, I guess, to see that all come together. We're going to get up there on Friday. They are hosting Monument Mountain, I guess, tomorrow night, if you're listening now, for the girls' home game. I covered Allison Felix. I covered Jacinta Felix. They're very, pleasant, great kids, it seemed like. Never had any issue with them. They're always kind of the calm base of the teams that they were on. And they both were, Jacinta still is, I believe, senior year.
Yep, senior.
But Ben, kind of, they just were around for a long time. Jacinta's been kind of a varsity starter for multiple sports for 4 years, I think. Allison, I believe, was the same way coming up. And both just, kind of calming presences on both teams. And that's what I remember most about covering her. That's what I know most about covering Jacinta right now. And, it's terrible.
It's terrible, yeah. You know, if you need someone to go out and score 30, that's probably not Jacinta Felix. But if you need someone to just kind of keep your team in a game, it's Jacinta Felix. You know, like, last year against Lennox in the playoffs, they're down double digits after the first half. And the second half, she just took over, you know, and she had 8 or 9 points in the second half, but she passed out a bunch of assists. She got a bunch of steals. Yeah, she just, you know, she calmed the team down when they needed to be calm, got the team excited when they need to be excited. She just makes the plays.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just seems like a very, very good kid.
I saw her was Monday? Was that Monday? We were at the Drury Monument Monday boys game. Yeah, it was. I think.
Oh
time,
yeah.
Time is moving.
Last Friday.
That was Friday. Okay. it was Friday. Yeah, I just remember because
she was there.
She was on the sidelines and you know was much more boisterous than I've ever seen her on the court, screaming for the Drury boys as they played Monument. And I just that stuck out in my mind as like, oh, that's Jacinta over there being very loud and animated on the sideline. Not something you often see from her in games.
No. She's very calm in games.
Yeah. And I think that's the support that the Drury girls got last night. They'll get, I would imagine, Friday throughout the remainder of the season. What becomes kind of a season about that. So that was their first. Yesterday was their wound up being their opener. They were kind of, they were just schedule wise. Their season opener wasn't supposed to be until Tuesday, which was after pretty much everyone else, I think. So now they just kind of got further delayed. But the season will kind of take on new meaning. And it was a season that has had and still does have a lot of promise, I would argue, coming off of last year. So, whether adds to that emotion, adds to that storyline, adds to the the support that they're going to get and the general outlook of their games, should be fun to see, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully they can have a good season even after all this.
Mm-hmm.
Drury boys, I think, should have a good season, although they need to get healthy. They definitely had a better performance than the one they put against Monument, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, they won out on the road, put up, I think, 88 in the game, which some of these totals we're seeing are impressive. I always said Hoosick hung 90-something, Monument's kind of getting to the 80 as well. Taconic also hung 80, so a lot of points coming, just coming from different places, and that's what we're gonna see in a Drury. James Varelis, I think, in that game hit 4 threes. we're kind of getting some names that we weren't aware of coming into the season, and that's going to be the exciting thing, I think, over the next few weeks, is to familiarize ourselves with who these kids are. And,
yeah, well, we've talked about all the seniors that have taken off, and so now it's a new crop of kids that are stepping up and taking over, and it'll be interesting to see how they do so, especially on the boys' side. The girls' side, there's more incumbents, but on the boys' side, there's definitely room for growth. Yeah, all right, we got about 15 seconds left here, so thank you all for tuning in, for listening. We will be back next week, because this show is after Christmas. And
all the earlier the next morning? Is that that's the Dickens at the end of it? Yeah.
But, yeah, thank you. You have a good one. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah.